From team-focused farm system breakdowns, prospect rankings, and interviews with some of the brightest up-and-comers in the game, Locked On MLB Prospects is the best way to stay plugged in on the future of your favorite team. Subscribe to Locked On MLB Prospects today. How's it going, everyone? Welcome to a brand new episode of the Locked On Phillies podcast. Today's Tuesday, July 20th, 2021. I, of course, am your host, Dan Wilson. Coming off a little bit of a hiatus, you may notice there were no episodes yesterday. I actually had the chance to travel out to Denver, Colorado for the MLB All-Star Game, the Home Run Derby. Very fun experience. But now I am back talking about the Phillies. Certainly a fun trip, fun baseball trip that I certainly recommend if you ever can make the logistics of that work. The Home Run Derby especially, I think, is a bucket list item for any baseball fan. But my enjoyment of that should not overshadow what's been going on with the Phillies lately. And the Phillies, despite anyone who's listened to this podcast, has known how down, I guess you could say, I've been on them all year. Not that I haven't been watching day in and day out. Not that I don't want them to do well, but just my lack of optimism, pessimism, you might call it. And since the calendar flipped to July, they have really been playing much better baseball. They've won four series in a row. They have a much easier schedule that we've all heard about coming up. And there's now a reason for optimism when you look at this Philadelphia Phillies team. And for me, honestly, that's the first time that I can truly say that all season long. If there is a true reason for optimism when it comes to this Phillies club. And it's not that they're necessarily, you know, one of the premier teams in baseball. I would not argue that they are. They're sitting here, as we sit today, 47-45, 92 games into the season, hovering just above 500. They've been below 500. They've been above 500. When you win a couple series in a row, again, four to be exact, you actually find yourself on the plus side of 500. And the reason they're in serious contention here is because of how disappointingly bad the National League East has been this season. But it's fun. It is fun to follow this team with the idea that they could make the playoffs. Again, as we sit here today on Tuesday, July the 20th, they sit 2.5 back of the New York Mets. It's only July, and I'm keeping up with what the Mets are doing every day in addition to the Phillies. I'm getting really into these games. It's funny, the other day you see the Mets playing the Pirates, and they lose on a walk-off grand slam as Edwin Diaz, the Mets closer, points up in the sky to indicate that he thought it was a fly ball, and they lose on that. So it's July. Sometimes you see these playoff races really pick up in August and September, and of course, the way these two teams play will indicate how intense this rivalry becomes down the stretch. But we were sitting here after the All-Star break, I should say, just less than 2 weeks until the MLB trade deadline, and despite the fact of how much I've been saying, you know, this team should likely sell, or this team is not ready to make a postseason run. And regardless of what they do in the postseason, they are in contention for the playoffs. And this is a team that, if you remember going back to June, Bryce Harper said they need to prove to Dave Dombrowski that they should be buyers at the deadline. And they have basically been proving that recently. This Marlins series this past weekend, there have been a number of tests for the Phillies this season. I specifically remember when they went out to LA and San Francisco. I proclaimed on this here podcast that was the biggest test that they had had all season. Two of the best teams in baseball in the National League. And they're going on a West Coast road trip where they do not play as well, and said they need to go out there and at least draw a split. And they fell a game short of that. And there have been other times where I say they need to win two of three or three of four from that Mets series a couple of weekends ago at Citi Field. And they draw a split when they could have easily won all four of those games. And I went into this Marlins series coming right off the All-Star break saying they need to win three of four. Like, they need to find a way to win three of four. Eventually, you can't just keep drawing splits in these four-game series. They're going to have to do a little bit more because of the amount of times they shot themselves in the foot, again, with bad bullpen appearances, bad managerial decisions, poor offense, poor defense throughout the course of the season. They come out, a little bit of a weird series. It was a doubleheader because of the game that got canceled back on July 1st on Friday. They split that, played horribly in the second game, lost 7-0. They come back in Saturday's game that gets suspended in the 10th inning. So that resumes on Sunday. JT Realmuto walks it off in the bottom of the 10th, a game in which the Phillies wore two different jersey combinations. And then on Sunday, they come right back again, and they beat the Marlins, a team they generally struggle with, and they actually find a way to win three of four. And the Mets, again, blew a game. They came back. The Pirates blew a game the very next day. The Mets found a way to win last night, and that's how the Phillies find themselves 2.5 back, only with six games remaining against the Mets, against them directly. But this is clearly a case similar to the NFC East for those football fans out there that even though it's a bad division, even sometimes when your competition is poor, like not necessarily great teams, but teams who are good enough, usually if you can take advantage of the circumstances of saying, hey, this is maybe the most open the National League East will ever be. This is the best chance we've had in 10 years to end our playoff drought. I would argue last year they had a pretty good chance too with the expanded playoff system. They didn't do it. And saying a year later we could come back to the normal playoff system, a team that I didn't expect to make the playoffs. I thought they'd win 86 games before the beginning of the season. But hey, we're looking around and there's no one we can't compete with. And if we could just figure it out in the second half, we could really do some damage. And in the second segment, I'm going to talk about some potential trade deadline moves that could help improve this team. Some guys who have been rumored, a former Philly who has been rumored trying to make a comeback in the major leagues, whether they could get some help there. But this team is disappointing as they had been the first 3 months of the season, again, in my opinion, have been really playing some better baseball now. Again, won 3 of 4 out at Wrigley Field, won 2 of 3 at Fenway Park, won 3 of 4 from the Marlins. Another big series beginning tonight, 2 games up at Yankee Stadium, a team they swept at home, you remember, back in June. And then another big weekend series, a couple of big division series, this weekend and coming up next week at home against the Braves and the Nationals. So some really big baseball coming up as they approach the trade deadline. Again, I expect them to kind of take everything into account here and assess where they are heading into that trade deadline. But I'm getting all the indications that they're going to be buyers, that they put themselves in a position enough that they're going to try and get over the hump of this National League East. And again, if they were in any other division, if they had a 47-45 record in the NL West, the decision would be obvious. So you can't play as poor baseball as you did the first 3 months and get away with it. But this is not the NL West. This is the National League East. The Mets are the only team above them. They got Lindor on the IL. They got DeGrom on the IL. Teams, even when you're not at your best, find ways. Sometimes teams who get the best breaks find ways to make most of the situation of the cards they've been dealt, and the Phillies have been dealt a good hand. And so for the first time all season, because I've had different points of optimism throughout the year, but this is perhaps the most optimistic I've been at any point during the season, and I think rightfully so. And so that's where I am with this Phillies team. More of the Locked On Phillies podcast coming right up. Again, we will discuss that trade deadline, how the Phillies have kind of forced the front office's hand, some comments that Dave Dombrowski made yesterday coming right up. But first, I have to tell you about betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Baseball season, of course, is in full swing. You can track all of the action at betonline.ag. Get all the latest news, odds, and info from all your sporting needs, including Major League Baseball, the NBA, NHL, and all of your UFC, MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get in the game as teams prep for their runs, or teams are making their runs through the playoffs in the NBA, NBA Finals still going on, as well as the Major League Baseball season. Head over to the website, use your mobile device, sign up today, receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit when you use that promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Also have to tell you about RockAuto.com. This episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all of the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing only the brands their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to RockAuto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using RockAuto.com. Why choose to spend 30, 50, even 100% more from the same parts or of the same parts from a chain store or a car dealership when you can get it for much cheaper? RockAuto.com is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers online for more than 20 years. Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer. They have everything you need: brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even that new carpet. Go explore their easy-to-use website today and find the solution to your auto parts needs. Go to RockAuto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. It's rockauto.com. So again, talking about this upcoming trade deadline, because this is such a pivotal point in the Major League Baseball season. Deadline, again, coming up on Friday, July 30th, as, you know, the 31st is a weekend. So basically, the Phillies have three more opponents to decide what they want to do. They have a 7:05 game on Friday night in Pittsburgh, Friday night, July 30th in Pittsburgh. So they have a two-game series at Yankee Stadium, a four-game home series against the Braves coming up this weekend, and a four-game home series against the Washington Nationals. And that is going to be the final piece of the puzzle of whether this team is a buyer or seller at the trade deadline. And again, I had long been of the opinion that this team cannot be fixed in a trade deadline. And ultimately, long-term, I think I might still contend that. Look, the baseball playoffs are weird. And you get in, sometimes weird things happen. You get in a five-game series in that divisional round, and any kind of weird break you can get. It's not 162 games. You find yourself with the Dodgers, the Padres, the Giants, whoever the case might be, and you like your odds in a five-game series way better than over the course of a Major League Baseball season. So I'm not the guy saying they shouldn't try and go to the playoffs here. I just frankly did not think the division or a playoff spot would be this in reach based upon the way they've played. And quite honestly, they don't necessarily deserve a playoff spot in the way they've played, but that doesn't mean they shouldn't still strive for one. So yesterday, Dave Dombrowski goes on the John Clark Takeoff podcast, and he gives every indication, if you want to take a look, go read his comments, but basically gives every indication that they think they can win in a playoff series with the way this rotation would shake out. He obviously is going to speak highly of Zach Wheeler, Aaron Nola, Zach Eflin. Don't necessarily love the idea of Matt Moore or Vince Velasquez making a playoff start, which again is going to bring me to my next point here in just a minute of whether they go after a starting pitcher either at this deadline or signing a former Philly back in free agency. But he likes their odds, and this is what Dave Dombrowski was brought here to do. He's not the rebuilding guy. He's the guy who tries to basically sell whatever talent you have to win right now. And that's why John Middleton hired him, to try and win with this organization right now. And besides the fact that, in my opinion, this team expedited a lot of the rebuilding process, they have not drafted and or developed well, I mean, for years, but even more specifically in the recent matter. And they tried to piece together a bought team in a lot of senses. They went out and signed Bryce Harper, spending the big money, stupid money, if you will. They went and made the deal for JT Realmuto with the intentions of obviously signing him right back. And that's a big reason why Dombrowski was here as well. Andrew McCutchen, again, I'll continue to give him credit, has basically been playing well ever since May the 1st. Ever since I called him washed on Twitter on April 23rd, he has just been a phenomenal player for the Philadelphia Phillies. And it's amazing kind of to see the turnaround since that has taken place. I did not necessarily see it coming. For anyone who remembers watching him in the first month of the season, I don't think anyone would have said that they necessarily expected this turnaround, no matter how high you were on him to begin with. But literally, since May 1st, I'll give this little bit of a shout-out to my good pal Ray Dunn, who's been on the podcast, and I've mentioned here before. Since May the 1st, he has a 251, 369, 512 slash lining, and that's batting average, on base percentage, slugging percentage, 15 home runs, 41 RBIs. That's top 10 in the majors amongst outfielders in home runs and RBIs during that span. And again, I called him washed the week before. So apologies, I should say, to Andrew McCutchen, fans of Andrew McCutchen. I read that totally wrong. I didn't think he would have anything left in the final year of this contract. He has really, really helped out the Phillies here basically ever since. And so now the offense is starting to connect. Everyone's healthy. It's a bought team nonetheless. I don't necessarily love the idea of trying to build a World Series contender that way, but that's the path they've chosen. They're looking at this roster and they're saying they're playing well recently. Like, they're going to go for it. My entire read on this situation is they're going to go for it. I don't know how much. I've heard a number of rumors out there. Obviously, you hear this. The big splash would be a Chris Bryant, Craig Kimbrel trade, which would solve a couple of issues. One, Chris Bryant has played all over the field this year, is an all-star, playing phenomenally. And Craig Kimbrel, another all-star, would solve the closer's position. So you're adding a major, major bat in your lineup, like one of the best hitters in your entire lineup, based upon his numbers this season, has a long track record of being good at the plate. And you're adding a closer, which has been, I've contended that this bullpen is more than just a closer away. They've obviously gotten a lot of good production in that spot since Ranger Suarez has moved there. He allowed a home run to Jesus Aguilar in that game that got suspended the other night. But that was the first blown save he had had all year. So this team's certainly trending upwards. I don't know exactly what they would sell for a Bryant Kimbrel trade. If Dave Dombrowski can pull it off, again, kudos to him. They do not have, as Bryce Harper alluded to in that same press conference where he said, we need to prove to Dombrowski to go for this thing. He basically alluded that they don't have a lot in the minor leagues to sell off. And generally, teams who are in this kind of position sell off up-and-coming pieces to get Chris Bryant and Craig Kimbrel. But if the market dictates itself as a market that favors the Phillies and the Cubs are not getting the type of offer that they would want for a Bryant and a Kimbrel. And I don't know if they would ship them off in the same move, but if the Phillies can pull off a deal for them, that absolutely could very well make them the favorites to win the National League East, which again, I can't even believe that I'm saying, and I don't want to say I'm cautiously optimistic with this whole thing just because I've seen them play well at this point in the season before. And I know there's still 2 months left and a lot can go wrong and they still have to catch those Mets with not a lot of games in hand, but this is a team that's going to go for it. Bryant and Kimbrel would be like the ultimate goal. Again, I don't know how realistic that really is, but even so, there are other moves on the market you can make, whether it's a move for, you know, just like a back end of the rotation starter, and that's what I was going to get to in Cole Hamels of a number of teams as he held a showcase, I believe it was a couple of weeks ago now. Cole Hamels trying to get back in the major leagues, held a showcase. The Phillies were one of the teams in attendance. Now, no one ran immediately to go sign Cole Hamels. This is not MVP of the World Series and the NLCS and basically the entire playoff run, Cole Hamels. But ask yourself, would you rather that guy on the roster instead of, just as another option, instead of a Matt Moore or Vince Velasquez start? I know the Phillies are 6-1 in Matt Moore starts. A little bit of chance involved in that, but he's putting them in an opportunity to win. Velasquez has kind of fallen off after that nice streak he had there. So I would be in on going and getting Cole Hamels, taking a flyer on him, sticking him at the back end of your rotation. I could very well see that. It would be a nice homecoming, obviously, the first time he makes a start at Citizens Bank Park, but I think it would be more than that. I think you're at the point where you could justify that move more so than this would be a fun homecoming for the fans and saying this is actually a move that could help us make it as the representative out of the National League East, which is unbelievable to say that at 47-45 in late July, mid to late July, that the Phillies are in contention to win this National League East. But that is where they find themselves at the current moment as they're just playing flat out better baseball right now. But relievers are always out there on the market. You can always increase your team marginally. I know we always think back to last year where they added Heath Hembree and Brandon Workman, and those guys were disasters. But you can still make marginal moves at the trade deadline. Again, the rumors you're going to hear about the big bad moves, the big splash moves they could potentially make. But I could see them making a few small moves here at the deadline, improving their team, selling off what they do have. Again, I think it's fun to talk big. More realistically, they'll probably end up with something small, something I'm not even thinking of at the current moment. But I'm certainly curious to see what they do. I think the Phillies have played well enough to justify it in their own head. I think it fits the timeline of everything else they've been doing. And we're at the very least going to have exciting baseball, or a team in contention, a baseball team in contention down the stretch of the season, which in some regards is all you can ask for. And, you know, I've kind of softened my stance on the whole sellers thing here. As you can see, I will not be surprised if this team reverts back to a 500 team. And apparently in this year's National League East, that's good enough. So this team's going to buy. This team's going to try and add rotational depth. This team obviously needs a few bullpen pieces. Could always improve your offense, even though they've been swinging the bats a lot better now. Shout out to, think about what Travis Jankowski has done since he's taken over in the center field spot. It has been really, really huge, the production they've been getting from him. I mean, he's been like the best center fielder, literally the best center fielder since the Phillies have had all season long. This is at courtesy of, again, friend of the podcast, guy I've had on. Actually, I have to get him back on at some point. Alex Carr. Travis Jankowski, his stats this year is he's got a 375, 474, 500 slash line, a 167 weighted runs created plus, 9 walks, 8 strikeouts, a .8 war, that's according to FanGraphs, and that's just in 33 games played. I mean, he has really, really been it's just a pleasant surprise for a guy that spent some time with the Padres and was signed in a minor league contract and has basically filled the center field role that the Phillies have been trying to fill all year. It looked like it was going to be Odubel Herrera at one point. It was Odubel Herrera for a while there, actually. You think back to Mickey Moniak and Scott Kingery and Adam Haseley, and now they're at Travis Jankowski, or Janko from Lanco, as the broadcast has been calling him, as he does hail from Lancaster County. And he has been huge for the Phillies season, and it really makes you think where the Phillies would even be without a guy like Travis Jankowski or Ronald Torres, who does not have the overall averages as good, but he's come up big in a number of big spots, has come up big with a number of defensive plays, really smart player, spearheaded a diving stop double play the other day, which was huge in one of those Marlins games at home. So think about the contributions they're getting from unlikely heroes such as a Ronald Torres, especially a Travis Jankowski, Ranger Suarez coming up big out of the bullpen. Kind of an unlikely scenario how we've arrived here, but the Phillies, the sum of all parts at this point through 92 games, 47-45 record, 2.5 back in the National League East to the Mets, and it is fun watching the Phillies and the Mets score and doing a little scoreboard watching with the Mets each and every night. Final segment of the Locked On Phillies podcast coming right up, but first I have to tell you about Built Bar. Do you know that Built Bar has tons of delicious flavors? There's something for everyone. You talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their favorites. If you don't know the Built Bar flavors by now, you're certainly missing out. There's coconut, cherry barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, and German chocolate. If you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get that mixed box where you get two of each of those 9 flavors. Check out all of the flavors of Built Bar. They have 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging 130 to 180, 4 to 5 grams of sugar, 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Again, amazing flavors, all tasty and all healthy. Order today, get the grasshopper cookie, the raspberry, whatever you would like. Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. Isn't that cool? U.S. track and field, again, Olympics getting started this weekend. I'm certainly excited for that, and Built Bar is sponsoring the U.S. track and field team. Go to Built.com, use that promo code LOCKEDON, and you get 15% off your order. Again, use that promo code LOCKEDON for 15% off at Built.com. One last time, it's Built.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for 15% off. Also have to tell you about Spotify Green Room. This episode of the Locked On Phillies podcast is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. Green Room is the perfect place to start or join the conversation about Major League Baseball. You'll find fans just like you in Green Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and of course, reacting to big news and rumors. You'll even find Locked On hosts on the NBA, MLB, NHL, and NFL pages, all the four major leagues in North America. Again, I'll be hopping on that app each and every week, so you'll be sure to see me when I get started, and I will meet you there. Go download the free Green Room app now, currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the respective league group for the latest league updates. I know you'll find a ton of incredible rooms, I should say, on there from your favorite teams and leagues. Can't wait to join you all on the app. Be sure, and I'll let you know once the Locked On Phillies room is live. Download the Green Room app today. Green Room, it's changing the way we talk sports. Final segment here of today's Locked On Phillies podcast. Again, I hit on a number of things in today's show. Big series coming up against the Yankees. I mean, every series is big, but the Yankees, who have had a down season, the team that the Phillies have played well against in their two games when they were here at Citizens Bank Park. It'll be Aaron Nola going up against the Yankees tonight against Domingo Germán. You remember Aaron Nola pitched a gem back on, I believe it was the Sunday game, June the 13th, at home against the Yankees. He's obviously struggled more so on the road, pitching at Yankee Stadium, which is another hitter's park, similar to Citizens Bank Park, but a lineup that he is familiar with, he had success against, and it would be huge to take at least one of two, if not two of two, up there in the Bronx. But the real thing I'm looking forward to again this weekend is the series against the Braves, the series against the Nationals. If this team that's currently sitting 2 games above 500 can find themselves 4 or 5 games above 500 at the trade deadline, you're probably going to be right there with the Mets. That's where the Mets are right now as they sit 2.5 back. I mean, think how exciting and everyone buying into this Phillies team at the end of July as they sit a game back with 2 months left to play, just 2 series left with the Mets. That's when baseball is at its best, by the way. I mentioned this back in April when the rivalry kind of kicked back in. There were Phillies and Mets fans at Citizens Bank Park and then Citi Field. And then the allure of fans returning to ballparks kind of went away a little bit as the ballparks got a little bit more full and returned to some normalcy. But if the Phillies and Mets are in a stretch run, or like are in a stretch run playoff race neck and neck throughout the course of the remainder of this season here, things are about to get a little exciting around here. Some of my favorite baseball memories were back in that 2007-08 type of run when the Phillies and Mets are going at it. Mets up seven games with 17 left to play, managed to blow it to the Phillies. That's when things are exciting. When you're in a division race, we won't have much of a wild card to worry about. Neither of these teams are making a wild card. The NL East is going to be a one-bid division. So it's going to be these two teams neck and neck. I mean, some other teams could find themselves in the mix. The Braves, two games back of the Phillies right now. The Nationals have fallen off a little bit more. The Braves recently added Jock Peterson, and we'll see what the Braves and teams like the Nationals do at the trade deadline, whether their mindset is to buy, sell, go for it, not go for it. But I think two teams that will definitely be buying at this trade deadline are the Phillies and Mets. Again, they're 2.5 back. They're 3 back in the loss column, which is, you know, the column that matters here. The Mets have made up just about all of their games so far, but the Phillies do have one more game played than they do. But at this point, I'm starting to get excited about, cautiously excited is my overall point of today's episode, about where the Phillies are. They're getting contributions from some unlikely sources. The pitching has been a lot better. The bullpen, I think the managing has been better. They haven't had a defensive blunder that has cost them recently, and that is a beautiful thing to see. That's going to do it for today's episode of the Locked On Phillies podcast. Make sure to follow me on Twitter at Dan_Wilson4, and of course the podcast page at LO_Phillies. Betting on baseball doesn't have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get your podcasts.